Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Natalie.
And if you're watching, you already know one of our most favorite humans on the planet is joining us, Dr. Eric Smith. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
We are so excited to talk to you today. It is kind of the season of support that we are in. And one of the things that we get asked often is about shame, the shame that we maybe feel about having to undergo bariatric surgery, the shame that we're feeling surrounding our disease of obesity. We know you are one of the biggest advocates for patients, kind of acknowledging that maybe shame might be present in their lives, but then you help them through that shame. You help them lift that shame, really by the counsel that you give from your surgical perspective. So today's conversation is really all about that. How do we kind of acknowledge that maybe we are carrying a little bit of shame? And then how can we lift it as patients? And how can we tap into our surgeons and our care team to also help us lift that shame? So no matter where you are along the bariatric journey, this episode is really for you. But before we jump into the conversation, Dr. Smith, will you take a moment and just introduce yourself to anybody who doesn't know you yet?
Sure. I am Eric Smith. I am medical director of Kentucky Bariatric Institute. So I'm in Kentucky, obviously. My hospital is in Georgetown, Kentucky. We're just a suburb of Lexington, Kentucky. Hopefully, most know me because of our collaboration with you all in Berry Nation. And I feel like we're kind of on the cutting edge of really trying to introduce programs like your all's to patients, and that being part of the follow-up part of the continuation of lifestyle changes. I've been doing bariatric surgery since, gosh, 2006. Glad to be here. I think we've all become good friends, and the interaction that we've seen within patients. And I think this is a really, really interesting topic, to say the least. This time of the year, I think it's applicable to probably people who even haven't even had bariatric surgery this time of the year, because it brings back a lot of emotions and things during the holidays. And as many times as we may look at the holidays and think, oh, it's all happy and smiling and joyful, many times it's gatherings with family that may bring up those uncomfortable situations too. Could be talking about bariatric surgery, encountering that, maybe the people that didn't support you. But even just, it's the time that brings family together, which is a good thing. But maybe that's the only reason family is back together, is because it's a holiday and they almost feel obligated, and there's some uncomfortable situations too.
Right. And we know from members of our own support community, there are plenty of people, and maybe if you're listening and watching, you're one of them. You have chosen to not share your bariatric journey with people. So all of a sudden, when you are around family or friends that you haven't seen for a while, there could be a lot of questions about rapid weight loss or why you're changing, or you're just nervous about them talking about your weight if you're pre-op. And that shame that we could be carrying about our size and shape or the disease or what we need to do to treat it could really impact, right, those relationships and those conversations. So yeah, agreed. This is perfect timing really for this conversation. Absolutely. All right. Well, if you guys are ready, I say let's just dive in.
Let's
Let's
do
do
it.
it.
Okay. So you guys know we always like to start the episode by making sure that we're speaking the same language. And I'm going to share two definitions, basically verbatim, for shame. So I just went to the Googs at Google and I typed in define shame. And the definition it gives is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong. So something that we perceive as wrong. Brené Brown goes a step further and she defines shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Something we've experienced, done, or failed to do makes us unworthy of connection. So there's a lot of
Wow.
definitions, right?
That's a lot to unpack, but
That's
very, yeah, I'll just, yeah, you go. That's a lot.
it's a lot. And I think what really stood out to Natalie and I when we were talking about this before you joined, Dr. Smith, is this experience and this feeling of being unworthy, and that unworthiness deems us unavailable for connections with others, right? It's like this shame that we're carrying is around something that we think makes us unworthy. So it's almost like you shrink even further away from it, right? Yeah, Nat, what were you going to say?
And you guard yourself. You think, oh, I'm just going to shrink myself to be almost unperceivable. And I'm going to build this wall of that shame or that guilt or whatever that may be, in order to really not be seen because of that choice that you made or the event that you went through. So it's like you're shrinking yourself, but you're also like using that shame as a barrier from the outside world. At least that's how I view it.
Hey, this is April, one of your hosts. If the Berry Nation podcast has made a positive impact on your life, become a supporter. For $5 a month, you can help us produce this podcast. Your support would mean the world to us. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to learn more. Right?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, you all, I think I've used this statement before. I use it with patients a lot. One of the last things that I tell patients when they start, that's like their final visit before they have their surgery, is, you know, we go over all the information, you know, the ABC, so to speak. And then I kind of leave them with two concepts. And one of the concepts I always say is, enjoy the ride and enjoy the journey getting there. But I really let that roll into enjoy the moment where you are today. Don't get so focused on some goal, which goals are great, but don't be so focused on some goal that you don't enjoy the ride getting there and enjoying the small victories. And, you know, we talk about non-skill victories and all that stuff. And I use that as an example, but I always take this to the statement I always say is, I had read somewhere where, we spend 80% of our time focused on our past. And I think when we focus on the past, it is the shame and the guilt of our past. And I actually use those words to patients. Or the 80% is focused on the shame and the guilt of the past, or the anxiety of what the future may hold. And we spend 20% of our time in the moment or in the day. And so the advice I give people is, if you live in today, if you make today better, if you maximize today, today becomes tomorrow's past. And so you can slowly replace your past with brighter moments. But, you know, we're going a little deeper than that today, right? And we're going deeper than that, you can't erase the past. And if you try to erase the past, you never deal with the past. If you try to erase the things that you are feeling shame over or guilt over, you never deal with them. And they're going to creep back in. You're going to see that family member on Christmas that you're like, oh, crap, that reminds me of how they made me feel. Or something's going to happen in life that brings that back up. And we all know if we don't deal with our issues, they're not going to go away forever. Sweeping them under the rug, you know, doesn't work. And so, no. You know, I think if you go back to the definitions that you said, it's this feeling of wrong. And that wrong may be a definition you have, or it may be a definition that someone has labeled upon you, what they've told you is wrong. And I guarantee you, we've all been through moments of our life where we've had that. I haven't had weight loss surgery, but I've had moments of my life that I've had that. I'm sure you guys have too. Whether it was partly coming from me, partly coming from the perception of the people around me and the people that I love or, you know, are close to me. And so, you know, it's a real thing that I think happens to all of us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I think back on my life, there are plenty of moments where I was filled with big shame, right? Or deep shame. That mine really revolve around academics, but I got to college. High school was kind of a breeze. I got to college and I failed my first class and then my grades plummeted. And that was such a shameful moment in my life because I prided myself on how quote unquote smart I was. My family and friends thought I was smart. And then all of a sudden, here I am totally screwing up this opportunity. And it took me a really long time to push through that shame and actually do something about it. I'm glad I did because I finished my degrees and I have multiple degrees hanging on my wall and that's great. But if I would have let shame stop me there, I would not have the life that I have now, but it's a real, it was a real thing. And it's not always related to size and shape. And I think for us as bariatric patients, we all experience shame throughout our lives. But for me, there was this an additional layer of shame because not only was I struggling academically, but my weight was ballooning. So now I had this academic shame that I was feeling, and now I had shame over my weight. I'm just such a moron. I can't do school. And now I'm turning to food and I'm eating too much and I'm gaining a bunch of weight. So it was just this like onion of layers of shame, if you will. And that really kept me stuck for a very long time, very, very long time. Hey, this is April. Jason, Nat, and I love making this podcast for you each and every week, but we need your help to keep it going. Become a Bari Nation podcast supporter for $5 a month and help us produce this show. Visit us online at barinationpodcast.com to join us.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only way through it was really kind of just acknowledging that I wasn't going to go anywhere if I didn't deal with it. You know, but without those resources, and again, the shame of my obesity kept me stuck for 10 whole years. I didn't have surgery for 10 years because I was so ashamed of what I thought was my fault. I couldn't control myself. I can control my eating. I was eating crap. And then every diet I did, I couldn't stick with it. So every time I tried something, a new layer of shame was added to that.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready to head to the hospital, about our, us talking about this. And I had no idea you were going to pull up definitions. And I just was kind of thinking of a bunch of different things through my head and scenarios that you've seen patients go through. But also I think you reflect on issues you've gone through too. And I think what becomes hard is, when we've done something wrong, there are times that we've been made to feel wrong about something that is unfair, but many times there is some truth behind it. And I'll try to use, and I can only do as good as I can as not someone who has battled with obesity or had weight loss surgery. So if I'm out of bounds, you all steer me back in. But I think when someone finally comes to the, well, even if they've not had surgery yet, or they've not come to the conclusion they need surgery, but they're trying to deal with their health and their obesity, we talk about all the time, this isn't a self-inflicted disease. But I also try to tell patients, let's find that happy medium and let's all own the fact that there were probably decisions we made throughout dealing with our disease that we could have done differently to make the disease easier to treat, right? Not make it go away, but make it easier to treat. So what happens is you can go so far left or so far right. That's probably pretty applicable in this day and age, right? But you can go so far left to say, I refuse to let this person make me feel shame. I refuse to let this person make me feel bad or guilty. But you don't ever take some accountability or ownership for it. And so you never deal with that part. Or it's woe is me, woe is me. I'm a failure. I'm so terrible. Kind of like what you were talking about. And you don't also realize that they're causing this upon you, and you have to let that go. And I'll use an example myself. I'm almost, gosh, I'm going to be 50 next year. But, you know, I was married for 18 years before I went through a divorce, have two great kids. And when, you know, I was raised in a household that was not okay. Like, you don't get divorced, like, period. And I don't know many relationships when they fail that there is not, there's not dual responsibility. You know, some may be more than others, but I was so, so shameful that it happened. People that I love, people that were close to me who loved me, but was telling me how terrible this was, how wrong this was, just fix it. And so I wanted to take so much ownership of my part. I wanted to like hit rock bottom to the point that I'm like, okay, I'm owning all of this because I know there is some wrong to it, that I couldn't get past that because I was so fearful that if I stuck my chest out and say, this is okay, this is acceptable because of my situation, that I wasn't going to confront the issues that I could have done better, that I could have done differently. And so I think it's really hard to reach that happy medium. You know, am I feeling shameful because of what someone's putting on me? Am I feeling shameful because I know some of this is wrong and I need to take responsibility? And it's a juggling act. And I think when it comes to feeling that way, and when it comes to feeling the guilt and the shame and or the wrong feeling, as you mentioned in the definition, we can only be responsible for how we react. You know, I thought about this morning. I'm like, we do everything we can to try to raise awareness for people who battle with obesity, people who go through bariatric surgery, the public's perception of what that is, how they treat people who deal with weight issues and all this other stuff. And you know what? We're not going to change a whole lot of those people.
Hey, Bari friends, it's Natalie, and it is the holiday season. Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for your Bari pal? Maybe you finally realized that you also deserve to get something special this holiday season. Why not give the gift of bariatric support with an annual membership to the Bari Nation support community? With over 80 live ways to connect, learn, and grow with bariatric dietitians, mental health experts, movement specialists, surgeons, and peers, you and your loved ones are bound to find the support needed for a successful and supported bariatric life. For just over $1 a day, you and your Bari fam can enjoy the gift that keeps on giving with the Bari Nation Support Community annual membership. Head to the Bari Nation website, barination.com, to learn more.
But what we can do is change the people that suffer from it. We can change the perception of the people that deal with it. Now, when those people live through those actions, the people around them may slowly change. So it's not that we give up on changing the non-obese patient's perception, but you and you and myself, I can only be responsible for how I react. If I'm wanting change of a situation and I'm only going to wait on the other person, I'm going to wait a long time. And so, you know, but I think that that is the conversation that I like to have with people, like, take ownership. Evaluate what you've done in the past, but stop blaming yourself over and over. It is, I own this. I know it. I'm going to be accountable. But, you know, not to sound religious, but I'm going to repent for, like, my wrongdoing of what led to my poor health. I'm going to own it. And I'm going to say, man, I could have done differently, but that's in the past now. It's over. And I don't deserve to be punished for this over and over and over again moving forward. And I have conversations, you know, I do that with my kids all the time. I'm like, you know, you're responsible for your actions. And I think it's human nature to not want to deal with things that way, because you almost feel like the person that's hurting you, you're letting them get away with it. And I don't think people like to admit that. But if you think about it deep down, if somebody's mean to me and they're saying things that we would all agree are hurtful, and I sit there and I decide to respond in a way of saying, I'm not going to let their words hurt me because I control my reactions, even though that's hard. It's hard not to fall into that trap, like, but I'm letting them get away with it. But if I don't let them get away with it and I continue to bring it up and I continue to remind them and I could continue to come at them, which obviously they've decided how they want to behave as a person, all I'm doing is reminding myself of the shame and the hurt and the wrongdoing that they put on me over and over and over again. And, you know, I think when we deal with that with patients who specifically are dealing with being obese or battling the disease of obesity, that's the perspective you have to take. You have to take ownership for what you may or may not have done and know your worth. You know, that's why I always say, I can't change your spouse because they think you're taking the easy way out, but I'm going to flood you with facts. I'm going to flood you with facts of why this isn't the easy way out, why this is so superior to the old fashioned way in your particular situation. So that, but that gives you something tangible to lean on. And it doesn't mean you won't have low days, but sometimes we need something tangible to lean on, right? And that's really how I looked at it. So for me, I had to say, you know what? I have some regret about certain things. I have some regret of how this may have ended up, but I can take ownership and I can make sure that I don't make those same mistakes moving forward. I cannot bear the responsibility of the other person. They have to choose to do that on their own. And if I say, I'm letting them get away with it, I want to bring up what they did, I want to bring up to everybody else what they did, all that's going to do is make me harbor anger and remind me of what I'm feeling guilty over or feeling shame over. So it is what it is. I want to be better about it, but I don't deserve to be punished for this moving forward. And you know, I hear you guys talk all the time about imposter syndromes and stuff like that. And I went through that. I'm like, how can I be an example to my kids if I didn't walk the walk, talk the talk of everything being perfect and textbook of how a family's supposed to happen? But you have to realize, you know, you guys can help people with their weight struggles, even when you've had struggles that reoccur. And I'm sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure there have been times where you do what you do and you've had some weight regain, or you've struggled with a food choice, or you're out and you're constantly looking as people paying attention to what I'm eating and think, oh gosh, I can't sit down Monday morning and I can't do a podcast because I didn't make every perfect decision. Well, that's unrealistic, but I'm sure you felt that way.
Absolutely. We talk about this all the time. And Jason also has an amazing story with this as well that we've been talking about recently. But I think every week, one of us is like, man, I'm struggling with my eating right now, and I don't even know how to talk about it. And it is that ownership piece that you brought up, Dr. Smith, is it's that ownership allows you to move forward and through shame. We have a saying here, it's not our own, but we say grow through what you go through. You have to grow through the shame that you have experienced or put on yourself. As you were talking, Dr. Smith, I was thinking, well, what if the other person is yourself? It's not an outward, right.
The person in the mirror.
Yeah. It's the person I'm looking at right now that is like, oh, you're doing this wrong, or you should have done this better. Or, you know, how dare you gain weight to 403 pounds, or how dare you get to a size 24 wide in clothing? There's all of those things, and it's self-inflicted. But I think that the message is all the same, that we have to take ownership of, like, you know, obviously I have a disease, obesity. However, I was not treating my obesity. I was avoiding, I was choosing a different lifestyle than what would therefore help me. But it is that ownership piece. And we've definitely talked about this a lot.
I very much appreciate you, Dr. Smith, talking about walking that fine line and what the shame that we're feeling from others can do to us. What I realized along my own personal journey is that sometimes when I allowed the shame of others to keep me stuck, it was comforting because I didn't have to do anything. I could just sit in the shame and I could be there. I didn't have to do any work to move myself out of it. So sometimes it's really comforting, right? To just be like, you know what? Yeah, this person is really thinking poorly of me, or yeah, I feel ashamed because of this. And I'm just going to sit here and wallow in it because it means I don't have to actually do anything.
Right.
So, right, it can be a tool that we use really against ourselves to kind of keep ourselves stuck, because that's comfortable for a while. But pretty soon we realize, oh, I'm not actually doing anything. I'm not making any progress. I'm not doing anything that's actually propelling my life forward. And it's at that point that we really do have to make the decision, do I want to work through this shame, or do I want to continue to be stuck here? And I think every bariatric patient, no matter where you are in the process, even if you are just listening to this podcast and you're wondering if bariatric surgery is maybe for you in the future, you are starting to work yourself out of whatever shame that you're feeling. Because that's the only way that we make progress.
Well, when you wallow in that too, when it is easier to just feel sorry for yourself or not do anything about it. It's not so much that you're lazy. You gravitate towards the sympathy. You gravitate towards the sympathy, either, Natalie, exactly like you said, the other person is yourself. The other person may put the shame on you, but the other person also may be the one saying you should feel sorry for yourself. Let's say you have a friend who says, look, I'm just going to support you. And they're giving you that sympathy. You become drawn to that sympathy. That is your solution. So why would you stop feeling sorry for yourself if you found the solution and that is sympathy, which we know that's not the solution. And it's interesting. There's two songs out there and they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. One is like a contemporary Christian song and one is a song by Papa Roach, which is obviously not contemporary Christian, but the songs are about scars. And it talks about essentially your scars make up who you are. One talks about, I'm thankful for my scars. The other one said, it's just called Scars. The rock version is just called Scars. But when you listen to it, it's talking about those scars make you who you are. That's perspective. It really is perspective. You have to get to the point that you are willing to change your perspective and flip the script. And no one, when you're going through it, wants to hear someone say, you're going to be better for this one day. You want to be like, you know what? Get out. I do not want to hear that. And it's normal to feel that way. But if you still currently right now feel that way, you're still in that sorrow phase and you're not ready to hear it. But you've got to find ways to get yourself prepared to be ready to hear that. Because I can tell you, as crazy as this may sound to some people, I am a better surgeon and advocate for my patients and what they deal with because of what I went through. And I didn't go through the same problem. And, you know, not to plug my participation on the show, but I remember both on camera and off camera telling Tammy until she finally got to the point, I'm like, you have to hit rock bottom on your own. And what she didn't realize is I was telling her that for myself. I couldn't be told there. I couldn't be pushed there. You have to hit it on your own because when you do, you are ready to listen to anybody. And so you go through that shame, you go through that sorrow. But when you hit rock bottom, you're like, I hurt so bad. I'll walk through a wall. Just tell me what I can do. And when you hit it, you listen. You're open to suggestion. You're open for therapy. You're open for surgery. You're open for someone who's offering something that can give you some hope and give you some tangible data, statistics, facts, right? And, you know, but then your perspective changes and you're like, gosh, if I didn't go through that, I would have never reached this point. You know, I couldn't, for the longest time, I couldn't completely empathize with people who dealt what they dealt with. And I still can't for that same problem, but I felt that pain in different areas of my life. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, going through what I went through has made me a better partner. It's made me a better father. Guess what? I still screw up. You know, I make mistakes. I probably am short patient with Anna or my kids or things like that. So it doesn't mean, okay, I can't be a dad again because I ruined that chance of being the perfect father. And I had to get past that. I went through periods where I'm like, how can I correct them on keeping their cool when I've lost my cool or whatever that may be. So I believe that those songs ring true to in my ear all the time. And I could hear those songs on either end of the spectrum and get emotional, the rock version or the contemporary Christian version, because I know that I am grateful for those, but you don't feel grateful at that time. And that's okay. That's normal.
I had chills as you were talking because I was transported back to the years leading up to my most recent surgery, my VSG 2020. I remember going through that rock bottom time of like, I don't care what size I am, you know, where my health is at. I don't care about any of it. I'm just going to live my life and I'm going to be oblivious. I was wallowing, but I didn't know that at the time. Right. At the time, I thought I'm just going to be liberated by this act of not caring.
Right.
And I hit my rock bottom. And then my mom was like, hey, here's a surgeon. You don't have to say yes. And I was like, please, I need to get out of this. Because I realized the detriment I was putting myself in wallowing or in hitting that rock bottom, that the act of getting to that rock bottom was such a detriment to my health and my life. And I was like, give me anything. I will go to Mexico to have my surgery just to feel better. But I
Right.
had to get to that rock bottom.
Well, and you subconsciously or consciously, or a little bit of both, you were still trying to surround yourself with people who you knew loved you, right? But I, you know, again, I hate to do this, but it's probably the first time we've ever talked, and I've referenced this. I remember when Tammy was at her worst, she finally hit that point. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to be happy. And she was almost trying to take this ownership of like, I'm just going to be happy. I'm going to accept who I am. You're going to go so far left, right? It's one extreme or the other. And I'm like, okay. Like, so we've gone from like, you're shameful to now you are so proud of yourself that you're just going to be you, but there's a limit. I mean, we can all just be us, but that could be dangerous, you know? And so it's, again, it's that balancing out of perspective of like, you know, and we see, let's be honest, we see that with people after weight loss surgery. And I'll see people come in and like, you know what, but I'm not going to fall into this body image issue. And I'm not going to fall into this. I know that I'm beautiful from the inside out. And you're sitting there thinking, man, you were down 300 pounds and now you're down 150. And are we better than we were? Yes. But you get concerned because you don't want them to lose that value that they're worth no matter what they weigh or say or do. But on the same token, if you care about it, you have to step up and say, yes, but I think this is a cover up. And I think this is the easy way out now of saying, this is okay, because I've found me and I found who I am. And I'm going to be proud of myself no matter what. It's that perspective. And that's where your people, your tribe, the people around you, you have to have accountability partners, you know? Because you can find happiness in really, really dangerous lifestyles.
And this is the fine line. Again, we're always talking about this line that we have to walk as patients. Because yes, we did not choose to go into surgery, or the goal is not to look, or, you know, a certain way. You know, you don't want to be all the way on the what I look like side. And when you start to regain weight, you want to be metabolically well, but you can use that as a, well, I'm gaining weight, but oh, I'm still okay, right? Or things are fine. But pretty soon, many of us will find that weight reoccurrence is now kicking us into metabolic unwellness, right? And we want to be like, no, I'm fine at every weight. I'm healthy at every weight. It's true for some people, but it might not be true for you. So it's almost like you're using this pendulum swing to avoid shame or to cover up shame, but never actually getting to the point where we can just acknowledge this isn't going the way that I thought it was. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me. It doesn't mean that I'm doing something wrong as a patient. It means my disease has progressed and I need more treatment. But if you don't have those words, and if you don't believe that yet, yeah, shame is going to creep back in, and we're going to use it for different reasons. And rock bottom happens at many different points along the journey. Rock bottom pre-surgery looks different. Rock bottom post-surgery. I experienced my rock bottom post-surgery 18 months after surgery. And it was the absolute hardest bottom I'd ever found in my life. And that was a real shock. Let me tell you, at 18 months. But my dad gave me a phrase and a quote, and I don't know who said it, but it continues to ring true in my life. And I think it's true for everybody. Change only occurs when the pain of remaining the same is too great to bear. And when you hit that rock bottom and you realize this pain is absolutely the strongest thing I've ever felt in my life, and I cannot remain here, rock bottom actually becomes the starting point. Rock bottom is where change actually happens. And I think we get so fearful of like, oh, I'm going to hit rock bottom. Okay. But that means that now you know where you can start from. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
And you can do both. And what I mean by that is there's times, whether it's a social media account or whether it's a person who comes in my office, and you'll see these people that you follow their journey, and they're struggling with maybe some weight regain. And it doesn't have to be so far left where I've had weight regain, but you know what? I'm healthier than I was before, and I'm happy, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to own who I am. Or then it's, they hide, like they don't show up at all. You can do mm-hmm. both. You can say, I've had weight regain. I don't like it. It's normal. It's a struggle. It's real. I'm being honest, but I'm not okay with it. But I'm not going to blame myself for it. I'm going to take responsibility for my role. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to think I'm less of a person. I'm not going to think I'm not an ambassador for people who've had bariatric surgery anymore. But it's okay to say, I'm not satisfied with the results. So I'm going to continue to work towards a better, you know, solution or a better result. And I think sometimes it's so easy. It's almost like we have to pick a side, you know, not to go politics again, but it's like we have to be one side or the other. And no, you can be both. You can say, mm-hmm. I've lost this weight and I'm struggling. I'm proud of what I've accomplished, but I'm not happy where I am. And I'm trying, I'm working there. And today was a bad day. So tomorrow, I'm going to make tomorrow a good day, because it's not going to be perfect after the fact. No. And, you know, you have to give yourself grace. And that goes back to you control your own emotions. If we're waiting for everybody to give us grace, hey, don't hold your breath, because it ain't going to happen. You got to give yourself grace first. And, you know, I learned, if you don't forgive yourself, why in the hell are you expecting other people to forgive you? Because they don't hear it, and they don't think that you're ready to accept it if you haven't forgiven yourself. And you have to do that first, and you got to give yourself grace first. But be honest with yourself. You can hold yourself accountable, but not beat yourself up.
Yep. Well, and I think that's kind of what grace is all about. I mean, that's one of the things that we say all day, every day. We have to give ourselves space and grace along this right. journey. We have to get space from the shame, and we have to give ourselves the grace to release ourselves from that shame, right? Right? Like, we just have to say, yes, I'm struggling, but no, this is not the end of the story, right? Yes, right. I'm struggling. I've done some things to contribute to this, but this is not my fault. This is a disease, not a decision. Right. But I do have some decisions to make now that I know I'm battling right. this disease, right?
Yeah, because grace is not permission to continue to make the same mistakes. And I think that sometimes is what happens. But on the flip side, you're so afraid that you're giving the perception that you're permitting yourself, it's okay what I did, and you're afraid people are going to think, will you keep doing that? No, grace is, you're forgiven, you can move forward, but hold yourself accountable to make improvements. And what steps are you taking to try to do that?
Well, and really that's where accountability comes in. And all of the research says that one of the biggest, most impactful things that we can do to help lift shame is to talk about what we're experiencing with other people, right? And it is so key to find a safe place to just tell one other person, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm experiencing. And I'm really afraid that somebody's going to judge me, or that I'm a bad person. When you can share those things publicly, in a safe place, it helps you release that shame that you're feeling. And it's such an underrated thing, because people don't think that that's a powerful tool. It is absolutely right. one of the most powerful tools. And it can even start with your surgeon. It can start with your care team. If you don't have a safe community, join us in Bari Nation and share it there, because there is a safe place for you to let that shame go and just get evidence back that people still love and care about you, even though you're not loving and caring to yourself right now.
Right.
We know it's hard, but we're doing it as patients. We're doing it as humans, right? I mean, I'm sure Dr. Smith, how you used that when you were trying to overcome your own instance of shame when it came to your marriage. I'm sure yeah. you had conversations with people that helped you get through
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And there are going to be people that do love you, but they're going to remind you of the mistakes you've made, or they're going to remind you of how the result was not ideal. But until you change that perspective and say, I can choose how they make me feel, you can't expect for them to change, you know? Their intentions may be good. And, you know, I even with our employees, I try to say, look, if your feelings got hurt, let's stop and say, did your feelings get hurt because someone truly did something to you? Or did your feelings get hurt because you allowed your feelings to get hurt? There's a way to have that conversation and get clarification. So when someone's making you feel shameful, if it isn't you in the mirror anymore and it's someone else, I think you should stop. You know me, I will throw facts out about bariatric surgery and the effectiveness until the day that I die. I really will, because I do think it makes a difference. But I say to all those people out there who are so tired of people looking at them like they're taking the easy way out, if you are so committed that you know it's not the easy way out, you obviously believe that, or you wouldn't think that what they're telling you is incorrect. It's time for you to stand up for yourself and say, I choose to not allow them to make me think it's the easy way out. And I'll move past that and I'll move forward. And I'm not going to sit here and dwell over the fact that my husband does not support me, because I choose to not let his words hurt me anymore. And it doesn't mean you leave your husband. It's just, this is something that I know, and I'm not going to let that negatively impact me anymore, because I know what I know. And that goes back to taking ownership for our part. And I think that will go a long way.
Dr. Smith, as always, your insights are extremely valuable and helpful. I know we've talked about a lot in this episode, but what's kind of the one big thing that you are hoping our friends, our listeners, watchers are leaving this conversation with? What do you want them to really take away from it?
You know, I think so many times when we make mistakes in our lives, like I said earlier, we try to sweep it under the rug. We don't want to go there again because it brings back memories. And on one hand, especially this time of the year, I don't want people to go to an instance that happened to them that maybe brings some pain or some sorrow, some hurt. But I also challenge people, if you're in a good enough place mentally to be able to revisit that for a split second and think, how can I take that situation that happened to me and either see how it's made me better or how I can turn that to make me better in the next year to come? That down part that I went through in my life, that rock bottom, whatever it may be, how have I already seen the fruits of the labor come through, and that scar is now who I am? Or how can I finally change my perspective and move forward past the guilt and say, I can't wait to tell the story a year from now of how that moment that I never thought, not only did I never want to live again, but I never thought it would be anything possible, how I can look at someone else who's struggling and say, that moment that I was low of low actually made me who I am now. And I'm actually able to help you through that. So, you know, it's tough to take people back there. I'm not their therapist. But I think if I challenge people to actually do that and just see what happens.
It's a really powerful tool that bariatric surgery can give us. Natalie and I both experienced this, but all of a sudden we had more capacity to do this big, heavy mindset work. And just like what Dr. Smith is encouraging us to do is to use that space for this exact work, because lifting the shame is a big piece of the puzzle along our bariatric journey. And by working towards it and by lifting it, we can see ourselves go farther than what we ever thought. And just like what you said, Dr. Smith, we can also help people along the way.
Yeah.
Dr. Smith, thank you so much for joining us tonight. As always, this conversation was amazing. Where can people connect or follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Eric Smith _. And then you can also follow us on at Kentucky Bariatric Institute, or KentuckyBariatricInstitute.com is our website for the practice. But I'm not a TikToker, so Instagram is about all you got.
Hey, that's awesome. As long as there's one place that we could go to continue to learn from you, that's what it's all about. And if you are a patient of Dr. Smith's, we are educational partners of the Kentucky Bariatric Institute. We have special membership that you can access as one of his patients. Just contact your coordinator, contact the office of Kentucky Bariatric Institute, or if you are looking to have surgery, we could not recommend Dr. Smith and his team more. So definitely reach out to him. Jason's not with us. Ms. Natalie, you want to take us out?
Of course. Again, thank you, Dr. Smith, for your time, your continuous support of Berry Nation. This episode is going to touch many, many listeners far and wide. It touched myself, and I know it touched April. To everyone listening, watching, thank you so much for your continuous support. The likes, the shares, subscribes, all of that really helps us out. Please remember to share with friends. Comment. You can rate us on your favorite podcast player. You can rate us on YouTube. Leave comments. All of that helps boost us in the web space. You can also become a podcast supporter for just $5 a month. You can support our Zoom lights, keeping our Zoom lights on, keeping the production of the podcast going. So we would really appreciate that as well. And as Jason says, at the end of the day, remember, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Bye, friends.
See ya.